Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, saints. Would you all please give me a sound check, please? This is Deacon Bell on this edition of Straightway Truth Radio Broadcast. I appreciate the sound checks. When you start putting your numbers in, give me a 10 being the best and 1 being the worst. Hopefully I'm coming in good. Still waiting. Well, hallelujah. I guess if you're not going to, I don't see anything. Okay, I see some 10s coming in. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yah, hallelujah. Thank you, saints, for those sound checks, hallelujah. I do greet you all in the mighty name of Jesus on this episode of Blog Talk Radio. I do like to give thanks to the Most High Yah for the opportunity to come before you and Pastor Dow for providing this Blog Talk for you, saints, for all of us to partake in for this extension of the fellowship. I still see 10s. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Praise y'all. See all of you in the chat room, Brother Steve, Brother Robert, Brother Dwayne and Sister Jane, Brother Samuel. Bless you all. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about mercy and compassion, or compassion and mercy, however I titled it. Thinking about compassion and mercy, you look at yesterday's Sabbath service when Pastor was ministering to us. You know, there was a lot of correction in that, a lot of chastisement in that message, especially in the beginning part of it that we call the Torah portion. And I tell you, that's the Most High showing His love for us, if you can receive it as such, you know, because He chastens them that He loves. If you didn't receive any chastisement, all of that, then you might want to reconsider your position with Him. Are you really a son? And I'm going to leave it at that. Hallelujah. Do thank the Father for allowing Pastor to preach that to us and to teach us, to give us understanding when especially about faith. When we thought we understood it, and we were all dumbfounded, so He gave us the answer and helped us out. Hallelujah. We'll go to Genesis chapter 24, verse 27. I don't see Brother Ugly. Let me see. I don't see Brother Ugly in here tonight. Can somebody post Genesis 24:27 in there for me, please, if you have the means to do so in the chat room? Well, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Let me get there. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Hallelujah. All right, and it reads, this is Abraham's servant going to, the context of the story is Abraham's servant going to pick up a wife, get a wife from Abraham's people for Isaac. And it reads this. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Now you think about that. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left my master destitute mercy and truth." Now, how many of us today are destitute of mercy and truth? By the way, the word tells us to buy truth and to sell it not. It'd be a good thing for those of you who have not got on the Patreon and to invest in your soul and receive those words that Pastor's putting on his Patreon videos. It'd be very helpful to you, to us all. Okay, we're going to go on to, Matthew chapter 5, saints. Chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. I'm going to turn there. Am I still coming in good? All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And it reads, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now, if you want mercy, you need to be able to give it. But, of course, you can't give what you don't have. It's a good blessing in being merciful. But let's go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 1 and 2. The prophet Isaiah says something here. Let's get there. Isaiah 57. Thank you, Brother Steve, for posting those scriptures, brother. Appreciate it. All right, Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. It says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. And the merciful men are taken away, none considering. It says, and the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Now you think about that. The merciful man is taken away, and he's resting in peace. But there's no peace to the wicked. So if we're unmerciful, that might mean you're wicked. Well, I would say that means you're wicked. Just Deacon's opinion here. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to verse 2. Look what that prophet said. The merciful man, merciful men are taken away, none considering. When you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, hold on, let me get there. What? 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just start at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Yah, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. But when you look at this last time, the state of men's being, you know, lovers of their own selves, and all those attributes without natural reflection, unholy, disobedient. I'm not reading it in order here, saying just reading some of them real quick. Despisers of those that are good. And then before, when I read Isaiah 57:1-2, merciful men are taken away, and we have these kind of men that are in their place. There's more of the wicked roaming this earth than all the righteous. And what Jesus said, there'll be few that be that are saved. Yeah, let's go to Matthew 18:21. Matthew 18:21. Go ahead and turn there. But you know, it's a horrible thing when you love your own self more than you can someone else. Let's get there. Matthew 18:21. Let's find that. Okay. Matthew 18:21. Let me get there. Matthew 18:21. All right. Then Peter came to him and said, Master, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? You know, we want to talk about forgiveness and mercy. Well, mercy and compassion. You know, don't take mercy to forgive your brother when he sins against you. Yeah, Jesus said, if your brother sinned against you, rebuke him. But even that, you have to do all these type of corrections and things in mercy and even have compassion. Well, what about the last time you sinned or sinned against your brother or messed up? Do you want compassion? You want forgiveness? You want restoration? These are good things. These are good attributes that we need to have within us. So Jesus did say, blessed are the merciful. All right, let's go to Jonah chapter 3. Okay, let me get there. Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read the whole chapter. Jonah chapter 3 and 4, saints. We're going to read both of them. I'm going somewhere with what I'm having to read here. Now, don't think I'm going to be before you long tonight. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of Yah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of Yah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Yah and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto Yah, yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from violence and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Yah will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And Yah saw the works that they turned from their evil way, and Yah repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. And he did it not. The one thing I'd like to point out with that first chapter here, with chapter 3, is the obedience of the people of Nineveh. When the prophet came with the word, what they do? They took heed and repented. Unlike our people, the prophets come, we want to stone them, treat them evilly, and do everything we shouldn't do, and definitely not obey the word of Yah. But let's go to chapter 4. This is dealing with Jonah here. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Man, why was he angry like this? He was very angry. That Yah, okay, we'll just keep reading. And he prayed unto Yah and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? I'm reading from the King James, by the way. That's why I'm just reading it like it says, saints. But I was not... Let me start over here, verse 2. And he prayed unto Yahweh and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious Yah and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then Yah said unto Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry? Is he doing well being angry like this, saints? Is he really that upset that Yah's having mercy? What if he died in that state? Jonah, you notice in verse 5, Jonah didn't answer the father here either. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from grief, So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Notice that he's exceeding glad of the gourd. But Yah prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that Yah prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But what's going on in his heart here? Is he really that hardened against these people that he'd rather die than live? And especially because his gourd got messed up. And y'all said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And of course, here's Jonah's reply. And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Would you want to die like that, brothers and sisters? Anybody out there, do you want to die full of anger like that? That's a scary state to be in. This is a man of Yah, too. Then said Yahweh, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Now that's a crying shame. He has mercy on the gourd, but not on the people. But you look at the nature of Yahweh here. You know, look what he says here. We'll go back to verse 10, chapter 4. Then said Yahweh, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? I mean, man, that's a lot of destruction on a whole lot of people. But at least they did have a heart to repent. But Jonah was very upset. And he wasn't showing too much of the mercy and compassion of Yah in that situation. But let's look at the Father here for a second. The Father's manifestation of mercy and compassion and his nature here. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Oh, just a second, please. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Let me get there. You know, earlier when I read that scripture, Matthew 18:21, talking about forgiving your brother. Remember, Pastor did that video on forgiveness, but when he was on his way to Canada. I just want to throw that in there about his video. You might want to check that out, because having some forgiveness, learn how to forgive, and not having unforgiveness in your heart is a good thing. And I wonder if Jonah might have been dealing with some unforgiveness. But anyway, let's go on to chapter 9, verse 13 here. Let me get there. Oh, I'll tell you what. Let's start at verse 10 here, Matthew chapter 9. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And go to Romans chapter 9, verse 15. Let me get there myself. Romans 9:15. You got that, Brother Steve? Romans chapter 9:15. All right. So he says to Moses, let me back up here a little bit. Let's see, verse. I'll start with 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yah? Yah forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And let's go to Exodus 33. Thanks. Earlier it was talking about Jacob and Esau. You know, he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. But that's why Yahweh's sovereign choice. He can do what he want to do. You know, if he loves someone, if he hates someone, it's all up to him. Or if he has mercy on someone, that's his decision because he's Yah. And this piece of clay is not going to say to Potter, hey, what you doing? Why are you making these type of decisions? All right, Exodus 33, starting at verse 19. Still trying to get there. Oh, hallelujah. I hope y'all are with me here. Still dealing with what Jonah had a problem with Yah. So how he knew Yah, that he would forgive the Ninevites. Said this to Yahweh. So Moses asked him to show him his glory. This is after he made intercession for the people and everything, and when they sinned and stuff. He said, you know, you have to read that whole chapter in context, saints, to get it all. If you would do that, please. But anyway, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. Anyway, let me read all that. Hold on. Let me see it again. They said, he'll be gracious to whom he'll be gracious, and show mercy on whom he will show mercy. Aren't you thankful, saints, he's had mercy on you? When you were dead in your sin, trespasses and sins, when y'all passed by you, he said, hey, I'm going to save you. I'm going to have mercy on you, son, if you repent. Daughter, if you repent, turn from your wicked ways and come serve me in truth and in righteousness and keep my commandments. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Exodus 34. Some of these scriptures are repeating some of the same things here. Built on the testimonies of the Father's character. That's the same things that should be in us since we've been redeemed and are walking with Jesus Christ in the regeneration. Hallelujah. All right, Exodus 34, verse 5. And Yahweh descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Yahweh. And Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will be, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And of course, at the end of that, Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Numbers 14, we'll read verses 18 and 19. They're still repeating some of the same things here. Let me get there. Numbers 14, 18 and 19. Wrong chapter. Numbers 14, 18 and 19. All right. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. The We see it. We still see the Father's character there, right, saints? Forgiving iniquity. Forgiving iniquity. Let me go back here. Turn my page. The long suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. You know what that means, right? If you're guilty, he ain't letting you off the hook. What you sow, you're still going to reap. You know, generational curses there. All right, let's go to Psalms. Chapter 86. Well, Psalms 86. Psalms 86, verse 15. Psalms 86, 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. And let's go to Psalms 145, 8. You see that, though, saints? Y'all, he's full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. How much of that do we need, saints? Isn't that fruit of the Spirit? And he's plenteous in mercy and truth. Praise y'all, his storehouses aren't empty, and that we can draw from them. Hallelujah. Psalms 145, verse 8. Well, I'm on the wrong page again. Excuse me, saints. Verse 8, Psalms 145. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are all over his works. That was verse 9. Let's read that in there. He's of great mercy, and he's slow to anger. Don't forget, speaking about the Holy Spirit, when Pastor preaching to us yesterday, told us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Even though we know that the Most High Yah is long-suffering, we definitely don't want to grieve him. Grieve his Spirit so they take it away from us. Thinking that we got so much mercy and grace, especially in this generation where they've graced us to death, and we can have all the grace in the world and sin like hell and live like the devil and think we're going to make it into the kingdom. But praise y'all, we know that's not the truth. So we're going to obey him and keep his commandments and walk holy and uprightly before him. Hallelujah. Let's go to, all right, let's go back to Romans chapter 9. Start back at verse 15 again. But are we seeing the character of our y'all saints? How he's full of mercy and compassion, long-suffering and gracious. Those same attributes should be in us. We're his servants, his children. We should take on the nature of our Most High. All right, let me get there. In another place is written. Okay, yeah. Well, he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on him on whom I will have compassion. I'm going to read down the verse. There's no spot here. Verse 23, the rest of this. So then it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of Yah that showeth mercy. But the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he hardeneth, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault, for who hath resisted his will? But nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against Yah, Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if Yah willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. And don't forget what's written over in Hebrews, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Like it says in verse 18 here, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. So we shouldn't take it a light thing anytime we hear the word of the Most High, that we're going to be able to hear it at any time we so choose to when we get in the wrong state. What I mean by that is saying that, you know, if we harden our hearts or we're in a bad spirit, you may not come back out of that. You may be stuck that state, and that's going to seal your fate for eternity. You know, if the tree falls, so shall it lie. So definitely don't harden yourself and resist the word, but receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul whenever the ministration of the Spirit is going forth. So hallelujah. Let's see. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to go back there again. We was there earlier, but we're going to go back there again. Matthew 18, starting back at verse 21. I'm going to read down to, we're going to go all the way to verse 35. I'm still dealing with forgiveness. You got mercy and compassion, but I want to put forgiveness in here because that's the way we need to operate. That's how we show forth mercy and compassion. Also, yeah, let me read that. Verse 21, Matthew 18, 21. Through verse 35, Brother Steve, you're going to post them all in there. Hallelujah. Then came Peter to him and said, Master, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? We want to put conditions on it. You know, just seven times my brother sin against me? Can I just forgive him seven times and be done with him after that? I'm cutting him off, throwing him to the wolves, throwing him to the dogs. I'm done. But Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times set. Then he goes on to say this. In verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay his master, his master commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, not praying for him either, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Man, give me my money. Come on, man, give it up. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Come on, man, help me out. I'll take care of it. Just give me time. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told him to their master all that was done. You know, people were sorry. And hey, you see what Joe did? Man, just put John in, threw John to the tormentors. Then his master, after that he had called him, said to him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should it not thou also have had compassion on our fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his master was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now you look at that, look at this, saints. That man owed his master all that debt, and he couldn't pay it. I mean, we've all heard this before. He couldn't pay it. And his master forgave him after, you know, he cried out to him, "Hey, master, have mercy, I'll pay you. Just have mercy on him." And his master forgave him all that debt that he owed. And of course, we liken this to our own selves with Jesus, with the Most High. It showed us how wicked we were before. You know, how many of us were broken and crying out for our sins and asking to forgive us, and he forgave us, cleansed us, filled us with the Ruach HaKodesh. You know, had mercy on us, set us on our feet, and got it, and had us running for our life for him in the kingdom. But then we got a situation come when our brother, our sister sinned against us or do us wrong. We got an ought with them. You know, we got such evil in our heart that, hey, no, I ain't forgiving you. You're going to be my captive. I'm going to throw you in jail. I'm not going to forgive you ever, ever. You're going to be a prisoner of my wrath. I'm going to vent my wrath on you. I'm not going to be gracious. I'm not going to be compassionate. I mean, that man, your thought, when that compassion was shown to the man in the chapter here, or to us, we learn how to have mercy. We should have mercy in us, compassion in us. When brother, sister, sin against us, yeah, you rebuke them. But then you forgive them. Like pastors say, we watch them, make sure they bring forth fruit of repentance. At the same time, we can't just turn around and be so vindictive against someone that we can't even forgive them. I don't want to be done that way. I want to be merciful. I want to have that blessing of being merciful. But I can obtain mercy as well when I fall. Or if I mess up, my brother or sister will have mercy on me and forgive me as well. And also, you look at when you're unmerciful, and you're unforgiving, how much torment that brings forth in your life. I remember talking to a woman at work one time. This is years ago, probably about 10 years ago, maybe even 15, after we got into the deliverance ministry. And this woman, she was just ate up with unforgiveness and bitterness. And I was talking to her about, this pastor wrote that book he had on bitterness. And I was talking to her about bitterness and forgiving others. As I was talking to that woman, she began to cry. Not crying tears of repentance now. Don't get me wrong here. But she began to cry. And she told me, I can never forget this person that did me wrong. I forgot who the person was that did it wrong. She might have told me. I can't remember. Person did her wrong. And she was so ate up with that bitterness and unforgiveness that she couldn't conceive of showing any mercy in that situation, forgiving that person for her own soul's sake. Now, this lady was ate up with arthritis and stuff. And I'm still seeing her. She's still alive, but she's ate up with arthritis. So, you know, she got bad fingers and joints and stuff. She just jacked up. And I tell you things, that's just a horrible, horrible state to be in. So if you can't forgive, just you got something to look forward to, the torment. You're going to be delivered to the tormentors yourselves. The same trap or net you want to cast for your brother or sister or even an enemy. I don't care who it is. You don't need to cast that net on them. Let them go. Forgive them for your own soul's sake. Thanks. I'm going to take a quick break here, and I'll come right back. Give me just a moment. I'm going to put something on for you.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your offerings or letters of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 8-3. If sending packages, you will need to include the street and number with that. It's Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, and Ellington is spelled Ellington, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, saints. Back with you again. We're going to go to Luke chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 20 through 31. There. Luke 16:20-31. Then we'll start with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I wonder if he's carried by demons into hell. Don't say that, but verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receives thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. The one rose from the dead. Now you look at this rich man, you know, he had it all. You know, fed sumptuously, you know, he's living a good life. You know, he's probably living like Bill Gates in our time today. You know, maybe somebody like that, or Donald Trump or whatever. You know, but I mean, he had a beggar laying at his gate full of sores, and he couldn't spare none of the crumbs that fell from his table to feed this man. Couldn't have no mercy, no compassion in him at all, to give alms to the poor, you know, someone needy. Yeah, that's pretty wicked. That's pretty selfish. And And that's not a good thing, especially if he was an Israelite, the child of Yah. But, you know, that's the state of a lot of people, even in their hearts today. You know, they're doing well, but they don't care about nobody else. You know, if you're going through something or somebody else is going through something, you don't care because it ain't you. I mean, look at mercy and compassion, some of the ways we can manifest it. When we know a brother or sister sick or whatever, how much time we spend praying for them? But yet, if we're ill or something's wrong with us, we want the whole world to stop what they're doing and pray for us. You know, hey, remember me. Lift me up before the Most High, Yah. Come on, man. Have mercy on me. Help me out. Hook me up with y'all. I'm afflicted. I need some help. But when your brother's sick, I ain't got time to pray today. I'll get back to you tomorrow. Oh, hey, well, you know, pastor, the elders, digging, all of them, they'll pray for him, but I ain't got time. You know, I got to go to work. I got this to do, that to do. You know, making all these excuses, but you don't love your brother enough to have compassion on him and pray for him. Wasn't that beautiful yesterday when pastor prayed for Brother Dominic and Elder Felix? I'm sure they appreciate it when they had us all, when the whole assembly that was gathered in that fellowship yesterday prayed for them. We all lifted up our voices to the Most High for them. I'm sure they appreciate it. Hallelujah. I want to go to Romans chapter 2. Starting at verse 4. This is the last scripture I got, saints. I had a whole lot of other scriptures the Father gave me, I wrote down. But when he had me go back through, he just had me stop with Romans 2. But I got something. Yeah, we'll just read this, and we're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to close it out. All right? Hallelujah. Read verse 4 here. Okay, let me start at verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of Yah is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Yah? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing the goodness of Yah leadeth thee to repentance? I mean, listen to what we heard yesterday in the preaching. That was after Yah blasted us, it should have led us to repentance, bringing forth good fruit in us. But after the hardness and hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yah, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And I'm going to stop there, but I want to say this. When you're thinking about compassion and mercy, you look at Jonah, how his attitude was in that situation. He knew how Yah was going to be compassionate and merciful to the Ninevites. You know, he's going to forgive them. He's going to hear their cry if they turn back, they turn to him, repent and stop their wicked ways. You know, he didn't like that, and he was full of anger. I mean, he could have been bitter against him for something, I don't know. But either way, you know, Jonah had a lot of attitude in him, he had a lot of spirit. You know, he's angry, and he even wanted to die. I mean, you ever been angry at somebody you want to die, saints? That angry, that mad, or do you want to kill them? Was it more like that? But either way, that's just a bad state to be in. Now, the reason why I read the scripture, because I was Romans chapter 2, because when I was studying on this, the Father had me brought back to my remembrance some deliverance I got from bitterness years ago. And I remember the first time I went after it with some of the brethren. I forgot who it was, but the spirit, you know, it manifested. It came up, but it didn't come out. Because then the brothers were ministering to me, you know, the spirit was manifesting. I felt it come, you know, pretty much, you know, came all the way to the surface. And then it was there for a minute, and then it just nosedived down. They deep down back into my, wherever it was at within this body. And I remember after that, I told the brother, hey, brother, I need to stop. This spirit is taking a nosedive. Something's wrong. And of course, now there was something wrong with me. And when I thought that I was, repented up enough and everything, thought I was done everything I should have done before the Father, or searched myself enough before the Father. in that area, in that regard. But when the time came for that deliverance, I saw that I wasn't where I thought I was with that. You know, because a lot of areas of my life, I was, you know, bitter. I'm bitter and angry about something. It was more, let me just say this. It was directed towards my father. I'm just going to share this with y'all. It was directed towards my father that he showed me later when I was, you know, getting that deliverance session. And I'm one day I was up here by the tabernacle, weed eating. And, you know, I was still meditating on that deliverance, thinking about, I said, Father, what happened? Or, you know, my mind was still reflecting on that at times during that day. And, when he said that, the Spirit said this to me. He said, "You still hate your dad. That's the reason why you didn't get deliverance." You know, I knew when he said that, just those short phrase, "You still hate your father or still hate your dad." I know that was the reason why I didn't get deliverance from bitterness. And I said, that tore me up. I said, man, yeah, my father did his share of dirt. You know, he wasn't a lot of the areas, he wasn't the best example of a father. You know, he provided for the family, but he just had, you know, he was a sinner, just a wicked man. Let me just say that. But, you know, but he didn't know Jesus, so you can't expect no better out of him. He did what he knew to do. But even at that, I wasn't the one that was supposed to judge him. And in a lot of ways, I found a lot of his characteristics in myself still. I'm like, man, Father. So that's why I read, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou art that judgest, wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." Now, you know. And so when I had to really press hard in the spirit to seek the Father for forgiveness, to forgive my father, you know, of the things that he'd done, that, you know, I grew up hating him for, didn't want to show no kindness to him. One day he's taking me to school, but you know, I don't want to get into all the gory details of that. I mean, but I still wasn't justified. You know, when it came to it for deliverance, the Father showed me, "Hey, now you wicked. Your heart's still wicked, and you got unbitterness and unforgiveness in your heart towards your father. No, I can't deliver you from. You can't be delivered from bitterness. Till you get it right with me." And so, and after that, I learned how to be merciful even towards my father. And I had to pray the proper prayers of repentance and forgiveness and all that, you know, towards him to get myself right so that I could get free from it. Hallelujah! And I'm grateful that did happen and that was accomplished. But I just wanted to share that because, you know, we need to show forth mercy, because Jesus did say, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And I, you know, we all need mercy. We need compassion. So I would just exhort us all, the saints and the brethren, you know, let's be pitiful and tenderhearted towards one another, showing mercy to each other, loving one another in that way. Because we'll take that for us, saints, as a people, as we bind ourselves together as a tribe and as a family. Those things are going to help. Going to help us strengthen one another. And that's all I got for you tonight, saints. I do love you all, and I appreciate you all being here with me this short little time tonight. Thank you for your time. Thank you for all your labors that you do throughout the week, laboring for the body, especially you, Brother Steve. I know you do a lot of work behind the scenes for Pastor, and being a webmaster, and all the things that you do for him, the newsletter and all that good stuff, and all your other saints for the labors that you provide, the offerings, the prayers, you know, all that's appreciated. Just remember to keep the pastors lifted up, the elders, the heads of assembly, and even your own selves, and all, you know, all of us. We need to pray for one another. And I hope this has edified you some way. Just remember, saints, we do want to have the nature of our Most High and walk like he walks and be like him, striving to be like him, being transformed. And like Pastor said yesterday, dying daily, because there's a lot in us, a lot of ourself that's still alive within us that needs to die, that needs to be put to death on the altar. So we can present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Yah, you know, which is our reasonable service. So we don't need to hold back that piece of ourself that we want to hold in reserve to execute our own wrath, you know, which doesn't work the righteousness of Yah. Let's just continue to strive to be merciful, to be holy, to be thankful. I just bless you all tonight, saints. Again, I love you all. And I just bid you all a good night and shalom. And thank you again, Brother Steve, for being my co-host, posting the scriptures. I do appreciate that. Bless Brother Ugly wherever he is tonight. And I bid you shalom, saints. Good night.